Welcome to the Irish NFL Show. My name is Shane Brennan, and thank you very much for joining us on this Easter weekend. And as we keep going through this free agency period, there's a couple of teams that always seem to grab our attention, either because they're making big news, or in the case of some teams, because they're not making big moves. And the Dallas Cowboys are always, a great team for talking points. So I'm glad to have a returning guest and an old friend, Brandon Laurie, who's a staff writer and podcaster with Blogging the Boys, part of the SB Network, to joining us to talk all things Dallas. Brandon, you must be just swept off your feet with all of these moves that are being made by Dallas, or not being made by Dallas, in this free agency.
You know, it's funny because I think this year might be the most I've heard fans sway in the direction of, like, they're ready to revolt, they're ready to riot, they're ready to break down the doors of AT&T Stadium and take over. I really can't remember, even when I was a kid growing up, being a fan of the team and then now transitioning to covering it, being a little more unbiased and try to be, I don't remember a year where the offseason had so much consternation, where fans are just upset with the team, upset with the ownership, upset with everything top to bottom, but then everything pretty much stays the same. You know, it's funny how the fans want everything to change. At the end of the year, Mike McCarthy should have been fired, and to the fans, you know, Dak Prescott needs to be moved on from, Jerry Jones needs to be gone from GM, but it's all the same. Like, it's the same returning cast. So it'll be interesting. I have week one circled. Like, if it's a home game, I cannot wait to see what fans' reactions are. But we're still in that cycle of, we'll see what happens with the draft. We'll see what happens after the draft with maybe signing some veteran free agents. The cycle will kind of continue on. And when we hit training camp or before week one, I think fans will be back to being excited and saying the Cowboys are going to be winning the Super Bowl.
It's one of the, when I talk to people who aren't NFL fans or are fans of sport, I always say it's one of the kind of most entertaining aspects of being an NFL fan is that cycle of the Dallas Cowboys. There's always a moment where they're looking great, we them boys this year, whatever, the fan base on Twitter and the counter reaction from the ESPNs and NBCs of this world, because it is, of course, America's team. It's the most followed team, the media presence around it and the hot takes around it amplify everything that happens around the organization. And it makes me think that when Jerry Jones comes out and says things like, we're going all in free agency this year, we're going all in looking for a Super Bowl, which obviously builds up hope, because you can half understand that an all right Jerry Jones, somebody who's in his 80s, I believe, you know, wants to see his team win again, you know, in the short lifespan he has left, comparatively speaking. And then it comes to the free agency and things seem a bit more complicated. We have a Dak Prescott kind of situation, which we will get onto later. Very few players have been signed. I'm writing saying, or at the time of recording, that linebacker Eric Kendricks is the only kind of free agent or veteran that Dallas Cowboys signed, unless there's somebody else that's stripped to the net. And even then, that's not, you know, he's a good signing. But, you know, for a team that really has the potential to win a Super Bowl and had so many good games and so many good periods in the regular season, this is not going all in. So what's Jerry Jones playing at when he's trying to say these things? Is he really just trying to, does he just like smashing people's hopes?
It's funny because, you know, you mentioned the Eric Kendricks signing, and even that, they had to steal him away from the 49ers, you know, to actually get him. So even you could even look at that as it wasn't an intended free agent signing type thing. But when it comes to Jerry making the comment, we had John Machota of The Athletic, who covers the Cowboys, does fantastic work. Anybody who's a Cowboys fan should go follow him. We had him on our podcast a few weeks ago after the combine, sort of before free agency. And we asked him, you know, where do you stand with a gauge of reading Jerry Jones and what he says? He said, honestly, and he's even said this afterwards too, that was sort of a poor choice of words. And not because he doesn't mean it. I think every year you look at Jerry Jones, he's always trying to be all in, looking for all these moves. I always say that sometimes there are moves that are made within the shadows of the NFL where you never hear about them because they never happen, but that doesn't mean that the ownership or GM is making those moves or making those calls. Even Keenan Allen going to the Bears. I mean, Keenan Allen wasn't available until he decided to not take a pay cut and the Chargers made him available. So there's always room to make these types of moves. And even last year, going all in my opinion, was last year where they traded for Stephon Gilmore, traded for Brandon Cooks. Those were moves that nobody saw coming. And he mentioned that, like, when it comes to Jerry and making these moves, everybody agrees that when he doesn't say anything and there really isn't anything going on, those are when moves like that happen. But when he came out and said all in I think the fan base, where their hope was so low. They just came off of a huge loss at home against the Packers, who were a seventh seed, all this stuff. You're trying to just latch on to something. And when you say all in, you look at the LA Rams, you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Eagles, you know, all these teams in the NFC that have made it to the Super Bowl, even the 49ers last year, they go out and they trade for guys. They go out and spend money on guys to make that sort of all-in Super Bowl push. And it's been successful. Maybe they haven't won the Super Bowl because the Chiefs are a superpower, but they actually got there. They got in the mix. So when he says all in and it doesn't look like that, it doesn't line up with that, now everything is just chaos. You know, what does all in really mean? And he's looking at it more as, when he said all in, it's about signing the guys that they have, committing all into the players that they have, not necessarily outside the building. So, and honestly, for me, I'm always glass half full. All of my takes on Twitter, I try and be as positive as possible. It's been very hard to do so this offseason. I will say my patience has been tested. But when you look at the Cowboys and where they're at, they just don't have any money to spend. Now they could free up some cap space with extending Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons they can start negotiating with. So there's room to make these types of moves, free up the space. They just don't want to push that money down the line, have to pay for it then, because 2025, they have all these moves that they have to make. So they're trying to be forward thinking with signing these sort of low bargain bin free agents and hope that you can kind of piece together a roster entering, you know, week one, and then see what you have. Maybe they trade for somebody at the trade deadline.
And just, I was talking to, I was saying to you all fair, we hosted an event where Peter King came over to us in Dublin. It was great. A lot of fans, a lot of different teams were there. And I was having a chat with a couple of Cowboys fans around it. And beforehand as well, a couple of Cowboy fans, friend of mine. And you mentioned there, you know, the LA Rams, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They were two teams who put their eggs in the short-term basket, went for it, went all in, I guess, as the words in Jerry Jones kind of suggest. Got the Super Bowl and then accepted that there will be a drop-off afterwards. So they're go for glory now and accepted that in the long term, a rebuild will be needed. I think the Cowboys are kind of stuck in between two places now because they're not sure whether they want to win soon with the group of players they have, or as you mentioned there, with the cap situation that they're going to be hitting in a couple of years, whether they're trying to, I guess, extend the, I guess, how long the franchise can remain in the top kind of 10 teams in the league.
Right.
So when you're, so if you were trying to strategize now, you're looking at the roster, you're looking at the potential that the Cowboys have, even with the cap constraints. Do you think that it is a better idea to, I guess, maybe free up some more cap space, put some more trust in you, get some more draft picks and try to build for the longer term so that maybe that the Cowboys can have a strong core to lead them into the future? Or are you trying to win the Super Bowl this year in New Orleans with Dak Prescott and the guys that are around you?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at the contract situation of everybody in the building, you know, a lot of people are on one-year deals. You know, a lot of the core guys are on one-year deals. Even CeeDee Lamb is entering a contract year. And, you know, while you have hope and high expectations that he will be re-signed if you're looking at him compared to Dak Prescott, everybody's just in this sort of limbo where even the coaching staff, Mike McCarthy is on the last year of his deal. Mike Zimmer, that was brought in as the defensive coordinator, sort of the savior for if there's a lack of free agency moves, he's supposed to be the guy to take the defense over the top that couldn't get it done in the playoffs. Well, he's on a one-year deal too, and everybody that he brought in. So there's a lot of unknown with what next year looks like. Maybe that means that free agents didn't want to come to Dallas because they know that, hey, we could be here for a year or two if we sign a long-term deal, come in, and then all of a sudden we're moving again in 12 months. I just think that if the Cowboys, they're always forward-thinking, they're always smart, they're always looking ahead, them being all in, making all those moves, just doesn't seem like that's in their DNA. Like, when I look at, I think, honestly, for me, it would be extending Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb. Those would be the two moves right now where that's long-term, but also freeing up money right now. And I think that for Dak, you know, and we could talk about this too, the contract situation, you know, they freed up some cap space around $4 million, something like that, but they needed to go to Dak Prescott's party to actually enact that $4 million reduction in the salary cap, kind of convert some money. So that means that the kind of two parties are talking a little bit, but there really hasn't been any indication that a contract extension is coming. Jane Slater of NFL Network put out weeks ago at the Combine that maybe August is a deadline or a time frame for them to get something done. That's months after free agency. So when fans heard that, it's like, well, why can't we spend money right now? To me, it's not even about that. You want to lock up your quarterback because the ripple effect of Dak going into another year where we're having contract conversations, extension conversations. It's just, what does that say for the locker room? Because he's the signal caller. He's the leader. He really is the glue that holds everybody together. When you lose guys like Ezekiel Elliott, you lose a guy like Tyron Smith in free agency. Like, you're starting to lose pillars of the franchise that have been there for so long. And with Dak entering the final year, if he moves on next year, I wouldn't be shocked that a lot of guys would just say, you know what, like, he's gone, we're gone too. I just think that the way things are for the Cowboys, if you extend Dak, that helps you long-term, but it also helps you short-term, because then that means, okay, we're able to buy into this year. We're able to buy into the franchise and say, you know, they're committed to our guys. We're committed to them. So I think Dak is worth the money. His price is only going to go up, you know, and if he has another MVP season, it just means that the price tag's going to go up even more. And maybe the Cowboys have come to grips with that. They have that already kind of set aside in their minds, but then just get it done now. Like, it just doesn't make any sense for it to be a talking point this year, unless Dak knows that there's more money to be had on the other side of next year. Then I understand that point, because it always takes two people to tango. The Cowboys can throw out every contract in the world to Dak, but if it's not something he's willing to sign, then it's not going to work out. So I just think extend him, extend CD. It's long-term, but it's also immediate short-term impact too.
Yeah, and just it's an interesting kind of aspect on Dak that you touched on there as to whether there's something in the relationship that's framed, because we've seen it in the league a couple of times where a new coach comes in and the coach wants to have his own quarterback. And we kind of saw that in Denver the year just gone. Of course, Dak Prescott has been in Dallas since 2016. Mike McCarthy has only been around for the last couple of years. Maybe he decides that he wants to move in a different direction to run the type of game he wants to play. But also, you know, maybe there is a part of Dak that decides, but is thinking, hey, my career isn't going to last forever. I know he's 30. He's, you know, if you look at the Kirk Cousins of this world, he's by no means anywhere near done yet.
Yeah.
But I'm sure, like, there has to be a point in him where he's like, maybe I have a better chance of winning with another franchise that has a better record in creating rosters that genuinely have a chance. I'm not saying that the Cowboys haven't genuinely had a chance, but they haven't been able to get over the line. They've been struggling against the Packers and the 49ers being two teams that they can't get over. Their playoff struggles are well documented. So, I don't know. Like, is there a moment now where this season is do or die for the relationship between the Cowboys and Dak Prescott? Because it looks like that both sides are relatively happy to let him sit and try out free agency next year and see what happens. And it's not 100% sure whether Mike McCarthy or whoever the head coach is next year for the Dallas Cowboys might want to go in a different direction.
For all the leverage that Dak Prescott has, and I see it, I recognize it, the best place for him is with the Dallas Cowboys. And I think that there's a lot that comes with it. When you look at, you know, him off the field, I mean, he's in a lot of commercials, Sleep Number, yogurt, yeah, Doritos or whatever. You know, there's so many opportunities that come from being the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. And especially when you're playing at his level, where he is a top 10, arguably maybe top 8 quarterback in the NFL, you know, that even creates more buzz. And for him to get all those deals off the field, that wouldn't happen if he was the quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons. You know, that wouldn't happen if he was the quarterback of maybe even the Detroit Lions for as good of a year as what they had. So I just think that for him, the best spot is in Dallas. And when you look at if he enters next year in free agency, of course, the Cowboys don't have the ability to tag him because they have that in it. He has that in his contract. So if he wants to test the open market, the people who usually spend the most money are the teams that aren't really great. You know, I mean, look at the Commanders this year. Total overhaul of the roster. They could land a top 2 quarterback and be like the Houston Texans last year, where they're going into the playoffs in year one. They're kind of ahead of schedule. But they could also be a really bad team again, too. I mean, that's what happened with the Bears, where they had the number one draft pick a few years ago, got Justin Fields. They kind of were in the middle of the road of things, and then now they just happen to get the number one pick over again just because the Carolina Panthers were that bad. Even look at Carolina. They landed their guy, their franchise quarterback, with the number one overall pick, and they still are in the same spot, and they had to give up their draft pick to the Chicago Bears. So I just think that it's so unknown with free agency, with where these teams are that have all the capital. Usually the teams that are bad are the ones with the most. And, you know, you're saying where Dak is in his career, maybe he looks at that and says, you know what, I don't want to go through a rebuild. I know I will be the guy in wherever I land. maybe the media and the scrutiny that comes with being the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys isn't with Jacksonville, but the competitive nature of the Cowboys, where they've won, like, I think throughout all this process, people forget they've won 12 games, you know, each of the last 3 years. And I forget where, if you go to any other team, 12 wins would be fantastic. Like, every year, if you told the fan base, hey, we're going to win 12 games each and every season, maybe we make it to the divisional round, eventually we'll get over the hump, they'd be like, listen, sign me up. I'll get my popcorn, I'll get my drinks, I'll relax and enjoy that year. But for the Cowboys, it's average. Like, 12 wins is average. It's sort of like purgatory for them, where you need to be either worse than that to at least set on this rebuild like you were talking about, or you need to make it to the championship, Super Bowl, and that's where the expectations are. So I just think that it's forgotten where Dak Prescott had an MVP season last year. He ended up second in voting. Of course, the you know, amount that he was behind Lamar Jackson was a lot, but he still finished second above Brock Purdy, Josh Allen. And I just think where he is, he has CeeDee Lamb. He has an offensive line that he has total faith in, and a lot of guys that he has a great rapport with. The teammates love him, offense, defensive side of the ball. Anytime you talk about Dak Prescott or you hear anybody talk about him, they love him. So to me, it's might not fray by the end of the year, because I think even Dak came out and said that he's confident in something getting done. I just think when Ian Rappaport came out with that report saying, oh, he's going to be entering free agency in 2025, that's sort of something that a lot of people who cover the Cowboys kind of understood. It wasn't breaking news to us. And I think that there's more confidence in something getting done closer to the summer than I would say, you know, next year, where if I had to put like a number on, I would say it's 65%, 70% going to get done this summer, and then 30-35, you know, next year. I think it would be better for them to both get it done this offseason rather than next year.
And just before we talk about, I guess, we look ahead towards the draft or even what could happen in free agency and kind of your wish list as to what the Dallas Cowboys need to improve on, I just want to ask you a quick question about the head coaching situation, because I found it quite entertaining during the part of the offseason when the kind of head coach carousel was on, and two names that didn't end up being picked up was Bill Belichick and Mike Vrabel. And there was a lot of talk that Bill Belichick, you know, it wanted to follow Parcells into the Cowboys, had a good relationship. Is that something that could possibly happen into the future? Where is that? Now, that's obviously coming from a national media standpoint. That's coming from people who maybe going to want to build up talking points. There wasn't necessarily a strong link between the Belichick and the Cowboys like there was between Belichick and the Falcons, where he went and interviewed twice. So what do you think that situation is? Do you think that it is a possibility or even a likelihood that Belichick could be considered for the job if Mike McCarthy is not seen as good enough when we are sitting here this time next year?
Well, unfortunately for Mike Vrabel, he's just too big and scary to be a head coach in the NFL, I guess. You know, that to me was an absurd storyline. But another Cowboys reporter that used to be a Cowboys reporter, now national reporter for the NFL for Yahoo Sports, Jori Epstein. Again, go follow her and all the great work that she does. She came out this week on a podcast and said, you know, talking about what this year means and everything. And that was asked, you know, kind of where Mike McCarthy stands with, if he's gone next year, who would kind of take over. And talking to people, it seemed like that her impression of Bill Belichick coming in would see all the, you know, branding, everything that has to do with the Cowboys, the star, and be like, I can't coach here. You know, I just think that for Bill Belichick and his age and where he's at, his sort of demeanor. And now he has the Bill Parcells connection. Bill Parcells, of course, coached with the Cowboys, but where the Cowboys were in 2006 is completely different with where they are now in 2024, as opposed, like, with regards to branding and national spotlight and media endorsements and everything. So I just think that for him coming in, it would be very tough, I think, for him to get on board with that. And that's just me talking. That's not anything that I know. I just think the way that he's coached, it would be better for him maybe even to deal with New York, just because I think with him, he's familiar with the New York media. He was there for a long time. And yes, there's a large scrutiny that comes with being, you know, the head coach of a New York football team or any sort of New York sports team. But I think that just the branding and everything about the Dallas Cowboys is a lot for people to kind of handle. I mean, even Dalton Schultz came out, you know, on the Pat McAfee show and kind of mentioned this idea of it being like a zoo. And while I think that was sort of a little more overblown, I don't think it's exactly like that. Maybe once or twice out of the year, you know, I mean, they'll have tour groups go through, but I don't think it's anything where players are super distracted of it. But it opens up the door for, you know, once one player says it, people start getting more confidence to say it after they leave the team, when they sort of move on. So it'll be interesting to see what other things come out about that. But I don't think it's much of a storyline, if at all. But when you're finding the next head coach, I think if they had to kind of do things over again, you mentioned Jerry Jones and his age. You want an established head coach. That's why they went after Mike McCarthy, because you can't get a young guy again, because Jerry Jones doesn't have much time to wait for another Super Bowl to develop a Sean McVay, and then all of a sudden, you know, year five, they're winning a Super Bowl. I just don't think they're on that timeline. So that's why, again, like with this all-in push and everything, it makes sense, but, you know, the pieces kind of have to line up with that too.
Well, there's a headline for you. Cowboys fan says, Belichick, go to the Giants. That's,
yeah.
I'm not quite sure whether that's, you know, be careful what you wish for kind of thing. I'm not sure. We got plenty of Giants fans here, I'm sure. Either yeah. We love that or hate that. And I guess very quickly before I move on to the players, when it comes to Mike McCarthy himself, and again, I don't know whether I have been poisoned by the way that national media talks about Mike McCarthy and whether he is on the hot seat in comparison to the way things are looked at in Dallas media and in Cowboys media like yourselves. What does he have to do to make sure that there isn't talk that he's going to get fired next season? What does he have to do that Jerry Jones and the Jones family are going to say, you know what, we're going to stick with this guy? What's the minimum he needs to do to keep his job?
Win every game. not exactly that, but I think when you're talking about like the national media and everything kind of getting on the back of Mike McCarthy, it'll start the moment that the first loss happens, you know, whether that's week one, week two. Oh, is he the guy? He didn't get his guys ready and all this stuff. And again, that just comes with, you know, the Cowboys spotlight. And I think the team does a great job of kind of putting that noise to the side during the year. They don't really kind of pay attention to it, but at some point that will kind of leak through. I think for Mike McCarthy, if he wins 12 games, I know the division will probably get a little bit tougher this year. Of course, the Eagles, you know, will remain competitive. I think they're kind of 1A, 1B with the Cowboys. But the Commanders signed a bunch of players, not only signed a bunch of Cowboys players, brought Dan Quinn over. So you figure if they lose both of those games this year when they play the Commanders, I wouldn't be shocked, just because you have people who are familiar with them. It's just not unheard of for that to happen. So you figure maybe take two games off, you're winning 10 games, you make it into the playoffs as a wild card team. They have to win, I think, two of those games. They have to get into the championship game, because with the divisional round loss, again, I mean, you can get over the wild card hump, but to lose in the divisional round again, I just don't think is good enough this year. And I think that Mike McCarthy has to make it to the championship game. Of course, injuries always play a factor into it. You know, if they have something happen like in 2020 where a major player is lost for the entire year, maybe the Joneses look at that and say, okay, maybe he wasn't given everything he had at his disposal to be successful. But the Joneses, you know, they put these coaches in place, they bring in a lot of professional guys to put the players in the best position to succeed, and they might view that the coaches are more to blame than the players if it's a loss or anything like that. I think last year when it came to the Green Bay Packers loss, to me that was more of a reflection on Dan Quinn rather than Mike McCarthy, because I just thought that the defense was not up to par. The players didn't execute well. They changed the game plan the week of because of the Stephon Gilmore injury with his shoulder, and they were playing more zone than man than they ever did throughout the entire year. You just can't do that in the playoffs. So that wasn't anything to do with Mike McCarthy. He had a successful offensive season. He took over the play calling. Him and Dak worked really well together. They came up with great communication, and the offense was firing on all cylinders. But at the end of the day, he's not the offensive coordinator. He's the head coach, you know? So I just think that he has to make the championship game or else they're going to be moving on. I would be shocked if they made the divisional round, lost, and he was back again and they kind of just re-upped everybody. To me, it's championship or bust for the Cowboys this year and Mike McCarthy.
I'm just going to go through the draft now, and I guess what the gaps that the Cowboys need to plug, because I'm right in saying there's four quarterbacks being let off being taken off the squad the last time I checked. You know, Tyron Smith and left tackle is gone. Tony Pollard, you know, fantastic running back is gone. He brought in a linebacker, as you said earlier, but there isn't much. And even then, when it comes to the draft capital that Dallas has, it has seven picks in total. It has its original picks in the first, second, and third rounds. It's picking 24th overall. Not the worst, but it's not a stellar kind of draft capital either. So when you're sitting here as a Cowboys fan, what do you think are the main areas that the team needs to address?
Glowingly, offensive line is sort of the blinking red light, and everybody's sort of talked about that. They have a hole at center and left tackle, like you mentioned, that they have to fill. And depending on what they do with Tyler Smith at left guard, they can move him to left tackle, and then you have a hole at left guard. So really, they're sort of two and a half positions that you have to figure out. And I think that the draft, you know, you never want to draft for absolute need, because then you're sort of avoiding good players that are on the board just because you want to fill a position. But I think it lines up well where the best sort of position in the first round really will be, I think, offensive line. There's a ton of players that will stretch given what happens with the quarterback position. I mean, if you have four in the top five that are taken, you never know what could happen with a team like a Michael Penix or a Bo Nix. If they're not taken in sort of that top 10, top 15, that might want to trade up if they don't get their guy and they sort of trade back. Like, I look at a trade back scenario with like the New England Patriots, for instance, where if the New England Patriots trade out of three, maybe give that pick to the Minnesota Vikings, the Denver Broncos, and they want to come back in the first round, get the fifth year option for somebody like a Michael Penix or a Bo Nix. I could see the Cowboys being like, hey, listen, we'll trade back with you, pick up those extra picks like you're talking about that they need. And then the New England Patriots are picking at 34. That's the second pick in the second round. I think that there would be a suitable sort of plug-and-play starter either at guard or at tackle sitting there for them, whether it's a Jordan Morgan out of Arizona. There's a BYU tackle who has a very interesting name that I don't want to butcher here. But, you know, there's a lot of good players at that position that will stretch for the Cowboys. So I think it lines up well for them. Then you look at linebacker. There's not a lot of great linebackers in this draft. Peyton Wilson will probably be the best one, which he's a 30 visit per Brian Broaddus. He mentioned that on his recent podcast that he'll be a 30 visit with the Cowboys. He's probably the best linebacker in my opinion, but he's very injured. If you look at his injury history, I think he's had 11 injuries over the course of his career from high school to college. So that lines up well where if the Cowboys want to take him in the second round or maybe even the third, if they take the Michigan linebacker Junior Colson or Edgerrin Cooper out of Texas A&M in the second round, I don't think anybody would be shocked. And those are the best players at their positions. So again, it lines up with where they're picking. I think Jonathan Brooks, the more and more that we get closer to the draft, there's more and more whispers that the Cowboys really love him a lot. And they've been known to take injury risk players in the second round with the Jalen Smiths, Sean Lee, and Jonathan Brooks kind of fits that mold, but it also fills a position of need at the running back position. Dr. Cooper is the one that did the ACL surgery, and he is, of course, the Cowboys team doctor. So they know a lot about the player seemingly from him. You know, we'll see. I think they're bringing him in for a 30 visit. I could be wrong on that, but I'm 90% sure on that. So I think because they're not having a lot of draft picks this year because of the trades they made last year, they need to hit home runs on every single one. And I think there's a lot of pressure on them with not addressing needs in free agency. Normally, I put this out, they hit around maybe 9, 10, 11 players before the draft that they would sign as outside free agents or free agents bringing them back to the team. I think they only have 7 right now total from what they brought in or outside with Eric Kendricks. So it's definitely a lower number than usual during Mike McCarthy's time as head coach. So I think that they want to address the needs in the draft and then see what happens afterwards with free agents. Ezekiel Elliott was thrown out there as a potential name to keep an eye on. Same with Dalvin Cook. I think if they don't get a running back in the draft they feel comfortable with, those guys can be brought back afterwards. But they're putting a lot of pressure on their draft picks. I think it lines up a little bit better than what people are thinking at certain positions, but that doesn't mean that it's all the pressure or lack thereof. They really need to hit home runs. And last year, their draft class wasn't really that great in a lot of people's eyes. So there's even more pressure for them not to do, you know, get 3 bad draft picks in the first 3 rounds like they did last year in some people's eyes.
Well, that's great. Well, look, I'm looking forward to seeing what the Cowboys do to try and, I guess, shore up their roster so they can have another go at the Super Bowl. Brandon Lurie, I'm sure we'll probably talk again whenever the Cowboys do have the first loss. We'll be talking about how Mike McCarthy is on the hottest seat in the NFL. That's just the nature of the NFL season. That's how things go. Thanks very much for taking the time out to speak to us, and we will certainly talk again.
Absolutely. And when the Cowboys make a breaking news move that sends shockwaves to the NFL, I'll be back on to talk about it. When they make those moves, you and me both will be surprised.
Very much so. Until then, thank you very much.